on Today's Living in Las Vegas. You know, I think most people know that when you walk into a casino, there's going to be a bunch of cameras that are paying attention to you. But what most people don't know is that Big Brother is watching you as well. Plus, we've got a very special co-host, Real Quick Stories, live chat questions, and of course, Have a Drink on Me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast where... Oh, gee, what the... Juju, I think we're being watched.
Always.
Let's get started.
For your life.
I love how that hasn't changed.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. I don't know if you can hear it, but a white guy's trying to play drums right now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host.
Yes?
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Oh, we know you by now.
Mr. Scott Whitney.
Is there anyone that truly doesn't know you by now?
Everybody doesn't know me. That's hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Another live audience here. Hey, I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. How you doing, hot stuff? And I'm joined, sadly, not by Drinky Pants, RQS. No, he couldn't be here. He's literally creating crimes across California. If you're at UC Berkeley, if you're at Stanford, keep an eye out for, we'll just call him by his nickname, Brett Grant. That's right, Brett Grant. License number? Oh, no, it doesn't matter. But instead, I'm joined by, well... It's old home day here, the big party here.
Who.
You know, I reached out and I said, hey, would you like to come by? And Chris Phillips said no. So then I reached out to...
He was too busy getting glasses fitting.
He was, but ladies and gentlemen, it's Pimpin' Wayne back in the saddle.
Thank you. Back in the back. I see you back there.
Good to have you here, Wayne.
It's good to be back. You know, like I said, you go for a year and a half, and it's like people forget you. But I got to compliment you on the updated digs. I mean,
thank you.
Thank you. Services table back there.
Did you like that?
It was fantastic.
Very impressive to the people on Periscope. Zero. I got a boy. We're killing on Periscope.
It's still catching on.
It is. Over under today, 81 and a half or 81 and a hook, as the kids say. Yeah, that's right. I've learned a few things about the gambling. Not a lot, really. That's pretty much all I know. I believe a hook is a half.
God, remember those 5666 days? Welcome to Living in Las Vegas. Scott did some stuff.
Listen to some stuff. That.
We don't have time to talk about any of it. And we'll see you next week.
I hated that.
Oh, that was brutal.
I hated that. And that's why we don't do it anymore.
Mm.
So I reached out to Wayne last week and said, hey, Wayne, you know, I'm looking for a host. Would you like to do it? And Wayne wrote back in his just the Wayne pimping way, pretty much. Yeah. And he basically writes back and goes, hey, absolutely. It would be good to get the band together again. And then probably, arguably, one of the most interesting analogies you'll hear on the show today.
Came right to me.
I get that. Here's what he says. You know, if you think about it, we're really like Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
You're Eddie. There throughout the entire time.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Melissa is David Lee Roth, the original member, who everyone remembers nostalgically. And I'm Sammy Hagar, closely associated, but no one can keep track of my comings and going. I guess that means Brett is Gary Cherone. So yeah, in the immortal words of Van Halen, might as well. Look, just so you know, I laughed at it, but I have to stick up for Brett. Okay, I have to.
Well, I mean, listen, that was not so much knock on Brett. I was out of Van Halen singers. I mean, the first two fit like a glove, right? When people think of the original Van Halen, you think of David Lee Roth, you think of California Girls.
Right.
When people think of the original Living in Las Vegas, it's got Melissa Whitney.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's a hotter hot or cold?
No. Hot or horrible.
Hot or horrible. And then she gives it a 7.
Or an A++.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the original. That's what people love. That's what you want to see when you go to the reunion show. Mm. Every now and then, Sammy Hagar slips in, does a couple songs. He's right. out. He's back.
Kicks
he's
his
out
ass. Again.
Yeah. And then off with Gary Cherone.
Okay. So if anybody is Cherone, I guess it would be you. I'm just thinking about it. Well, because he's kind of, well, anyways, it was funny. But Brett, we love you. But, you know, some of us really care for the show. And, you know, Wayne stepped in. Now, Brent, if you really love the show, you would have Skyped in or something.
You know how much I love you, Scott?
I don't know how much.
More than words.
Oh, shit. Now, see, that's funny. That's an extreme joke, right?
It is. Right. Uh-huh.
So we're the only two who get that, which is why he was kicked out of Van Halen, by the way, because no one knew who the hell he was. Hey, by the way, you know, the weather here is frightful, but in a good way. So, I mean, yesterday, I've always thought it'd be cool to go to work and then come home and take a dip in the pool. And I did that yesterday. It was lovely, right before a thunderous storm that kicked everybody's ass. Oh, wow. But the low last night, I get people who say, you know, I'm thinking about moving to Las Vegas, but it's too hot. Eh, it's not that hot. If you have a pool, it's great. The low last night was 93 degrees.
Mm-hmm. That's a low.
So I've decided, yeah, that's actually too high.
Yeah.
Even I. No. Yeah. All right. That's
places. I don't know where you're a California guy, but in Ohio, it doesn't even get that high in the summer. You'll have humidity and such, but the straight temperature?
No.
Doesn't even get as high as we have lows.
No, it was crazy hot last night. And, you know, and I'm all about, we've got a bigger house, so I'm really freaked out about what it costs to cool the place. So we're like, you know, 80, 79. Melissa's like, come on, man. We're cooking chicken in here. How about bringing it to 78 and turning the fans on, honey?
Right.
All right. But God dang, it is getting a little bit warm here. Okay. Here, by the way, I get this a lot all the time as well, and that is, hey, are there any jobs in Las Vegas? The answer is there's a ton of jobs. How about if I told you there are 2,600 jobs that I can list off right now?
I believe it.
It's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers.
Oh, my gosh.
Clark
Every
County.
Year, they're doing some type of drive or recruitment drive.
Yep.
Every year, you always get that stereotypical article in the newspaper.
Yep.
They're out looking. They're going to different colleges. They're going to different states.
States. They're actually advertising at, what's that thing in New York, the big place with all the signs? Oh, I forgot.
Times Square.
Mm-hmm. They're advertising billboards in Times Square. Now, Clark County is not the best paying school district in the world. But so what they're going to do is they're going to manage that $5,000 bonus. $5,000 signing bonus, 2,600 people, which sounds like, hey, that's pretty good, because the cost of living here was very low.
Absolutely.
Especially compared to like Las Vegas or to New York or mm-hmm. California or wherever. So I'm like, hey, that's pretty good news. And I talked to Melissa. I'm like, you know, didn't they just lay off a bunch of teachers last year and the year before and the year before? And literally the next news item was, in other news, no raises for our existing teachers.
Right.
Wait a minute. So you're going to give $5,000 to everybody who comes in here, but the people who are still here now and who are going to quit, because my guess, your attrition rate is crap.
Get back to work.
You're not get back to work.
Right? Break time's over. Let's get back to the guitars, children.
This is so stupid. And that's, I think they're going to be breaking up the school district, because right now I think Clark County is the sixth largest school
it's
district
huge.
In the country.
There are 32 high schools in Clark County.
Oh,
high
right?
schools.
That's right, because you do refereeing for football,
yep.
right? Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's 32. I didn't know that.
32 high schools.
So, yeah, sixth largest. There's 2 million people who live here, 2 million plus, and it's just out of control. It's unmanageable. I've been told that they're going to be breaking it up into, I don't know, some number of little school districts. But, mm-hmm. you know, for God's sake, you can't this is like recruiting 101. You really can't be offering people $5,000 signing bonuses if you're not actually paying the people to stay. That's really a problem.
It's like the cable company. You know, when you're already subscribed to cable, do they send you a letter that says, hey, we're going to give you $50 off?
They know. No, what you have to do
you have to be a new subscriber.
Say, you have to call them and say, I'm cutting the cable. Whoa. We'd like to keep you around. Would you like 6 months of HBO for free? Well, now I don't. I got HBO now.
Right.
I don't need that crap anymore. So go blow yourself. All right.
Yeah.
Here's a...
Clark County School District, just like the cable company.
Like the cable company, except not as good. How many people have heard of the term 86? That person was 86th. We mentioned it last week, and I thought, you know, we should talk about this a little bit, because that term originated in Las Vegas.
Really? Because it's ironic. Without even going over this before the show, I actually was in a discussion with a coworker about this last week.
Is that right?
And they told me it originated in New York during Prohibition.
Nope. That's wrong. So your friend, or whoever that is a complete and utter liar.
I think it was Wikipedia.
Okay, Wikipedia can't be trusted. We're going to go with my story. My story is a better story. All of a sudden, it may not be true. fuck, it doesn't really matter. That's a cuss. So here it is. This was a mafia-based thought process. And if they're, you know, you're in the casino and you misbehave, maybe you cheated on a little backgammon. They don't really play backgammon in casinos, but let's say they did.
Maybe you play in the NFL and you beat your wife in an elevator.
Nobody knows.
Right.
There's no proof of that. Wait a minute. Yes, there is. So you're playing roulette and you cheat. Or some blackjack. And they say, well, we gotta make this guy go away. We have to make him disappear. 86 refers to 8 miles out into the desert and 6 feet down. Hmm. That's 86.
Oh.
See? So when somebody says we want to 86 you, that's an actually unbelievably threatening thing to say to somebody.
Now, do you know what? I believe it's Wikipedia, but the version I was told was that it comes from Prohibition times in New York.
Right.
The one of the large Prohibition clubs, or one of the clubs that was bootlegging, when they would find out of the police were coming or there was going to be a raid or something along those lines, everybody fled out of a back door, and the address of that back door was 86 Baker Street or something along those lines.
Okay,
so the people had to be 86'd.
Okay, let's vote. Which is the better story?
Oh, well, yours is the better story. Boom. Yeah.
So let's go with that.
I mean, come on, there's a lot of desert out there.
Hey, can we update Wikipedia? Anybody can.
I already have.
Anybody can. Let's do it. Let's update Wikipedia. All right. Ted wanted me to talk a little bit about my Bank of America problem. You know, to recap on that, I basically said, hey, you guys are charging me $16 on an account that has zero balance. I made it zero balance, so you guys will look at it and go, oh, we shouldn't be charging that. But you charged it anyways. I said, hey, how about not doing that? Give me my $16 back, and I'll leave my mid-four-figure thing alone. They're like, no, we need you to give us a $16. So I went to Bank of America, and I wanted to talk to a manager. Manager was too busy.
Mm.
So my initial thought was, you know what, give me a manager. But I thought, you know what, I'm taking a quiet, confident approach. So I just took out all my money.
All right.
Just boom.
You didn't drop the, do you know who I am?
No, because no one really knows who I am.
Apparently not if they're on Periscope.
Well, one! We've got one person watching right now.
Let's take a special moment to thank the viewer on Periscope. Great job.
I'm watching you, baby. I'm watching you. Okay. We're not getting any hearts floating, though, so fuck them.
That's a thing?
Yeah, I guess when you tap the screen, little hearts float.
Oh, wow.
And that means they like what they see. We've not seen any hearts. No one likes what they see. Finally, before we get to our main topic, Rock and Rio talked to Ted about this as well. You know, we heard that it didn't do very well. It's a lot worse than that. So the background is they thought they would have some, I think it was 30, yeah, they thought they would have 320,000 people.
Which would be EDC type numbers.
Yeah.
EDC was doing 130 a night,
right, 1,000. Times three. They did about 400, not quite 400,000.
Like 360 or something.
Yeah. Huge number.
Yeah.
And so they thought they would get the same kind of numbers as EDC. Which is a stretch, clearly, because EDC is, well, it's godlike, basically, in that kind of world.
Far less ecstasy at Rock and Rio.
Yeah, and people, well, cocaine, and alcohol, which seems like a great trio. So they, they're hoping for 320,000 folks, which basically, it's over 4 days, so it's 80,000.
It was 4 days, 2 weekends, right?
It's two weekends, 2 days and 2 days. Okay. 2 weekends, one after another. Ended up getting 130,000 total, which is 60% below what they had hoped for. So you might say to yourself, well, that's still a lot of people. Well, not enough. They lost, get this number, it's unbelievable. They lost $28 million
on this thing. Wow.
$28 million. Now, what I thought was interesting, because Ted had a very interesting viewpoint on this. Ted, you know, he runs Access Vegas, And so he's, you know, he deals with a lot of people who do advertising for Vegas-y stuff. Mm-hmm. So he had, you know, he had talked to these guys, you know, briefly, and he talks to all the guys, the Cirque guys and the Rev guys, and I mean, he talks
he's
to
a talker.
And he, a lot of people advertise at his site. So he's kind of in on that stuff. And he said, well, actually, let me back up. My thinking was they didn't talk enough to the local group, to the locals. I mean, there's 2 million of us here. They didn't really reach out to us. Now, Ted said it was just the opposite, that in fact, they spent $30 million on advertising to the locals. Quite frankly, I mean, did you see a lot of advertising for that?
Saw a couple billboards by the 15.
Yeah. Was that? I mean, I didn't remember.
There's
seeing
that billboard by the old on by Convention Center, yeah, Sahara, yeah, and the Strip. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people driving by there.
That's a happening area.
But did you? I mean, I don't remember really seeing a lot of. And he had mentioned also there was a lot of TV spots for it. And man, I can't remember seeing any of that. No. So he really thought that was what was going on. I didn't catch it, but nonetheless. My thinking was, God, why didn't they? Well, that's not true. I did see advertising in Seven magazine and Las Vegas Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that.
Okay,
which is a good place to advertise. But
pick up your free copy while you're waiting for the bus.
I always thought the same thing, and that was, and I think this is where they completely dropped the ball for locals, and that was there's nowhere to park, and so their deal was, we'll bus you in
or take the monorail.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're on the east side, I guess that's an option, but you still got to walk an hour and a half to get from the monorail to the Rock and Rio thing. And if you're on the west side, that's not an option. Now, I don't know where they put people, but they wanted you to go somewhere because there's no parking there. And right. I mentioned this 3 or 4 shows ago. That, to me, is what killed it for locals. I am absolutely not going to go to a parking place 5 miles away and get bussed in. So
you don't
want to
park at MGM Grand and jump on the $15 monorail up to the SLS?
I ain't parking anywhere. I'm parking next to... Pisses me off. I am parking next to the facility. That's right. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Well, you're a valet guy.
Well, I'm a valet guy. Yeah. By the way, I had the greatest valet experience this week. But God dang it, man. So, you know, Ted was saying, you know, they spent too much time on the locals. And I'm saying they completely abandoned the local concept, which is I need to park next to it. I don't really know if they did advertising outside of that. I don't know if they advertised outside of MGM properties or not, quite frankly.
I don't think they did, but you got to also look at the product being offered.
Yeah.
I think it was with Metallica, No Doubt.
That's a good point. So Metallica is a pretty bitchin' band.
Absolutely. I'm not talking bad about them, but then you start to drop off the cliff a little bit.
No, it's like this.
Well, right. I think No Doubt. Yeah. Who else? I don't remember.
So here's what I thought. I completely agree with that. So Metallica, I actually watched the Metallica concerts. It was recorded and put up on YouTube, I don't know, the next day.
Well, they were broadcast. They were streaming live on Yahoo, weren't they?
Oh, that's right. They were. No. Well, EDC.
Oh, that was. I mean, was, okay. I'm getting mixed on up. Yahoo. Sorry.
But
still getting that ecstasy out of my system.
I know. But so what was crazy for me was. So Metallica, well, so it was a metal night and then a pop night or a weekend, metal weekend, pop weekend. So Metallica, arguably the most powerful metal band out there. So I watched that concert, some almost 2 hour concert. That was a great concert. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a great concert. Those guys are still smoking it. And for the pop, their number one pop person is who I believe is the smartest person in music, is Taylor Swift. Oh, she's a genius. Mm-hmm. She's smart. She's got it figured out, and she is kicking ass.
She took Apple to it, man.
It was so fun watching that. That was unbelievable watching that. I mean, Fortune magazine said she was the one of the top 50 most powerful women. I'm like, women? She just stopped a Fortune 10 company in their tracks. Mm-hmm. How about human? Unbelievably powerful. So they had great, you know, top line acts. But I thought the same thing. Everything after that, you know, No Doubt, they haven't played as a band together in, I don't know, let's say 6 years, 7 years, 10 years.
More
I
than
don't
that,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like it didn't make any sense.
I was in high school.
Yeah. Bruno Mars. So he's very talented. He's a very, very talented guy. But oh my, come on, man. I mean, this is not the EDC equivalent.
No.
And that's what they're competing against. And that's where I think they dropped the ball was, you know, we want these EDC numbers, but we're putting up, you know, one great DJ one weekend and one great DJ, and the rest of them are just kind of fillers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was hugely pro. And the other problem with, like I said, the parking. Whereas now the parking at the speedway is not good, but at least it's there. It's you have to wait 5 hours.
All you read is horror stories, though. 3 hours to get out of the parking lot.
Right.
4 hours. Concert ends at 3. I think the newspaper profiled a guy. He left the concert at 3 when it ended. Got back to the Excalibur at 9 a.m.
Yeah. But you know what they have? They have the illusion of parking.
They
do. You can park right there. And for locals, that's a big deal. Now, I don't know what percentage of locals go to EDC. As a matter of fact, they said for Rock in Rio, it was 16% of the people there were locals. And Ted, she brought up another good point. They were trying to desperately get it. So they said, well, here's a $30 gift certificate or a $30 credit, which Ted's just like, that'll buy you a Coke and a burger.
Yeah.
Because they were just ripping people off there as well. So
captive audience.
You know, the word is that they're supposed to come back in 2017. The word is always that, the first time a big concert like this happens, you're not supposed to make money. But the word is there's a good chance this thing never sees light of day again. So it's kind of a shame because they did a lot of work there.
Now it's officially off for next year. They did one of these like we'll be back in
2017.
Right.
Is when the next one was scheduled to go. But MGM put $20 million into this thing, and I think Cirque put in some money, and the Rock and Rio guys put in some money. So
yeah, to be fair, they built it on a KOA campground, so they're not really
It's not the location is okay. It's actually in the middle of everything. It's in a good location. They don't have any parking. That if you go to the MGM Grand, whatever you call that big place, it's not as many people, but you got fucking parking. Right? And that's what matters to people. Yeah, I know. It just makes me crazy that they're not thinking, yeah, people don't really care about parking. Oh no. Well, they're going to helicopter in, which is the solution, by the way, to EDC. Spend $500, get a helicopter in. But, it's unbelievable. All right. I don't understand these people. All right.
It's time for a generic jingle. Going to go to a commercial break. Too bad there's no Chaz Palminteri.
Hey, we've got two people in the Periscope. We're crushing it.
Oh. Oh, that was just segue music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't do commercials unless we have to.
Okay. Oh.
Hey, so as I said in the big tease,
rest in peace, Chaz Palminteri.
Big Brother is watching. So one of the exciting things about this show for me is getting to go into some of the background, the detail of what's happening here in Vegas from a watching you have fun perspective. So the background is this. I don't know if you guys have seen the news, but over the last couple years, a couple casinos have gotten fined pretty significantly for not paying attention to the genesis of the money their gamblers use. So Sands, and was that Venetian?
Mm-hmm.
They were fined how much?
$43 million. About as much as Rock in Rio grossed over two weekends.
What was the backstory of that guy? You know that, right?
I do. So the Venetian had a Mexican citizen who was Asian. Yeah. So Chinese-Mexican. Tiger Woods is a relative. Come in. And he was in the pharmaceutical business, or so he claimed. What he actually was doing was producing methamphetamine in Mexico. And he was one of the largest drug traffickers across the Mexican United States border. Coincidentally, he's also the Venetian's number one player in, I want to say, 2006, 2007, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And ironically, over that period, over a one-year time, he lost, not played, not put at risk, he lost in a calendar year $43 million.
Wow. Jeez.
He bet so much money and had such special limits that he affected their balance sheet. They literally had to have an accountant type person keep track of his wins and losses for that day because it affected their balance sheet.
What was his name?
Zenli Yi Gon. Y-E-G-O-N. Yi Gon.
Okay. Yi Gon.
Mm-hmm.
So they got pinged for $43 million because it was ill-gotten money that was used.
Ill-gotten gains. So the eventual ending of the story is the guy gets arrested by Mexican authorities. Apparently, he wasn't giving them a big enough cut.
Yeah.
Right. He has $100 bills palletized and shrink-wrapped in his Mexican compound.
No kidding.
So they come in, they arrest him. He's sitting in Mexican jail with La Cucarachas, waiting for extradition to the U.S.
Racist, table for one, please.
That was the song. Come on. He's in jail. He goes to court, and the feds want their money. Or they want the money that from the proceeds wins. Of this.
Right.
And he says, I'm broke. I don't got it. Other than what's in my house, they said, well, where's this other $43 million?
Right.
And what's he do? He points to the Sands.
Oh, man.
Or he points to the Venetian.
Right, right. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
So Uncle Sam said, oh, that's a shame. You're kind of responsible for paying attention to that. In other words, it's the equivalent of saying to any company, whoever you do business with, you have to find out where their money came from, which is a pretty steep measurement.
It is, but of course it's the federal government, so they can't spell it out like that. So this is where they get you. What it literally says in the rules and the regulations that came about during 9/11 and this chase after terrorists and Homeland Security and the Patriot Act, et cetera,
right.
It literally says if the financial institution, which they consider a casino,
right.
So your Bank of America, they consider casinos, whether it's the MGM, whether it's the SLS, whether it's Circus,
right.
They consider them to be just like a Bank of America. Oh, they're a right? financial institution.
Oh, no kidding.
Governed under the same laws.
Wow.
So what they say is, wow. If the financial institution knew the money was dirty, or, wait for it, should have known right. the money was dirty.
Which is a tough one.
They're going to come back and get it. So it's like saying when you said to me, oh, Wayne, I thought you were going to bring Bud Light Platinum today.
Right.
And I said, well, Scott, you should have known I wasn't going to. And therefore, we're drinking your beer.
Okay, so the Venetian thing kind of spooks people, right? All the other casinos are like, oh, shit.
Oh, it's a wake-up call.
And then wait a minute. I don't know if you saw, I think it was for their securities, whatever you call it, for Caesars, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to announce something, right?
They did. Caesars is having a rough go of it, the whole Caesars Corporation. So about 2 years ago, I think, when they had the Men's World Cup, they actually had Malaysian Malaysian citizens, we'll say, come in. Mm-hmm. And they literally set up a sports book in one of Caesars Palace's villas. They went into Caesars and said, we need villas, we need servers, we need routers, we need LAN networks set up,
right.
And we've got, you know, millions of dollars that we're going to deposit with you because we're going to gamble with it later.
Oh, man.
And so Caesars said, they called up Cox Cable and said, how soon can you guys get out of here? We got some new installs. And so literally they're booking wagers from all these different offshore books, these foreign companies, and the state agents, the federal investigators get search warrants, the FBI, they go in there, they see this whole, what it's called, a boiler room operation.
Yeah, wow.
And so that happens on Caesar's property.
But why do they do it on Caesar's property? I don't understand why they would even do it there. What's the thinking there?
Yeah, I guess the villas at Caesars are nice.
Well, they are nice, but good Lord.
I mean, we all saw The Hangover. Jeez, that was a pretty good suite.
Louise,
so man. Unrelated to that, that was just the start of Caesars 2015 or 2014.
Right.
Then the FBI and the Department of Treasury goes in and they say, you know what? We think you guys should have known about some stuff going on in your casino.
Uh-huh.
What they're investigating is not public yet,
right.
But to your point, like you mentioned, Caesars did have to announce to analysts
right.
that they're anticipating upwards of a $20 million fine to Boom. Settle these allegations.
Unbelievable, man. So what that tells you is that if you're a casino, which is a financial institute, apparently,
mm-hmm.
you have to listen like a thief is
yep.
the line. You have to watch everybody, look at everybody, and see what people are doing. You know, bad guys, good guys. It doesn't really matter. You just got to kind of look. Well, what's fascinating to me is our friend Wayne here is in that business.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. And you've been doing that for
6 years now.
Six yep. years.
I like to think I got my start. You know, when you're a little kid, you get the coloring book and it's connect the dots.
Right.
That's what I do now.
Oh,
I collect dots
yeah.
and I connect them together.
Isn't that interesting?
Casinos have long been a dot collector.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be what kind of scotch do you drink?
Yeah.
What's your favorite beer? What's your brand of cigarette? What kind of music you like? like to listen to? Right. Do you like slots? Do you like tables? Do you like steak? Do you like seafood? Those sorts of things.
Right.
Because it's the customer loyalty business.
Right.
We want you to come in. We want you to have a good time.
Right.
This is Las Vegas.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's America's playground.
Right.
Now, with the advent of these just massive millions of dollar fines, it's not only the fines that hurt, it's the future business.
Yeah, right.
Casinos are now going nationwide. You've got casinos in Poughkeepsie these right. days.
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah, right, right, right.
A lot of these companies.
I met a gal who's a host at Cannery.
Right,
and she loves the job.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a great job for her. So I get
so,
it.
Yeah, it's bad PR. People say there's no such thing as bad PR.
Yeah, the hell there's not.
There's bad PR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're
especially on Wall Street.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Gone.
Yeah.
So casinos now are having to collect dots, not only about what your favorite type of beer is,
right,
and what kind of scotch do you like, and are you a Marlboro or a Camel type of person?
Right.
Now they want to know, well, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
Do you own businesses? Where are those businesses? What kind of car are you driving? What who are you related to? You got any criminal records? What's your credit rating like?
So, you know, there's like two different, I don't know, categories, I guess, that you would approach this from your perspective, I guess, or anybody from the outside in. So there's the, you know, what we would consider the cops and robbers perspective. So when somebody comes in, so tell me a little bit about that. Give me some examples of bad guys who have come into a casino.
Yeah.
And done things where you're like, that smells bad, and let me go after this.
Well, predominantly what you're looking for is a parallel relationship between how they act in your casino and how they act in the outside world.
Right.
Great example. And this is a real life example. A gentleman bets sports. He was a sports bettor.
Okay.
He's betting $1 million a year in sports. Okay? $1 million a year. Not win, not this is what he's betting.
So that's his throughput.
That's you're right. Correct. That's how many bets he's made in a year.
Okay.
That's a lot of
that's
sports.
That's a bunch of money.
Right?
I know guys who bet sports and they're not betting that much money.
Oh, hey yo. So $1 million sports player. When you go online and, you know, with the advent of Google, the internet, public records, everything about you is out there.
Right.
If you gave me 30 seconds, all I need is your name and I can determine your social security number, who your parents were, your right. mother's maiden name,
right.
Who your kids are. Right. I mean, I get everything about you.
Right.
Literally in just a, it's almost like you watch a bad cop movie from the 90s,
right.
and it's the cursor, and you just type in a name, right. and all of a sudden, here comes all your information. That's real.
Yeah.
It's a little different now, a little more graphically enhanced.
Right.
There's some color schemes.
You actually have a picture of me.
Right.
Oh, that's before the goatee.
It will. It will. It'll go good. Out and pull your Facebook or your LinkedIn picture.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Put names to faces.
Nuts.
So, to take $1 million guy, you do a little bit of digging
in
some
you
public.
A question?
Yeah.
How long had he been betting $1 million a year?
For about a year or two. He was in his second year. He completed the first year at $1 million and he was still going strong in year two.
So after a year of $1 million, you're like, we should probably look at this cat.
Exactly. Okay. Especially, again, like I said, it was a wake-up call.
Right.
These the Venetian,
oh, yeah,
and
right,
the Caesars.
Right.
So everybody snapped to it.
Right, right.
Little aside, the Venetian, after they get fined $43 million, what do? They go hire they fire everyone.
Right.
They hire an FBI agent, three attorneys, and an MBA to do this thing, though.
Right. Another perfect example of where we cannot be screwing this up.
No.
We can't afford a $40 million fine. That hurts the bottom line.
It does.
Okay, so Mr. Million Dollar Sports Guy.
So you Million Dollar Sports Guy, you do a little digging and you find out, oh, let's look at the Nevada DMV records.
He's a local cat.
He's a local cat, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Local cat.
All right.
Let's go look at DMV records. Oh, look at that. He drives a 2002 Saturn.
Well, have you read the book, The Millionaire Next Door?
I have not. Now, you're going to say probably like Sam Walton drove a station wagon right. until he died.
That's his argument. I'm the millionaire next door.
Sure.
Back off.
So you've got a guy in his 40s who can afford $1 million on sports,
right.
who's driving a 2002 Saturn,
yeah.
and who lives in a $1,200 a month apartment in Henderson with his parents.
Oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you look at that and you say, well, those, you know, which one of these things is not like the
right.
other?
That
and the answer is all of them.
Right, right. None of those things are like that other.
Right.
Right.
So that is something where, you know, that's where if that guy who's could be up to something. Maybe he's not.
Right.
Maybe he had an inheritance. Maybe he's just independently wealthy.
Right. Maybe.
You know, maybe he's a playboy. I don't
Maybe monkeys will fly out of my butt.
Could be.
Who knows? What's that sound?
I don't know.
That's a monkey.
A little hot in here probably for that to happen. Yeah. They'll probably stay tucked
up
inside.
That's why they want out.
Yeah.
It's really warm down there.
So that's a classic situation where the FBI or the Treasury will come in and say, come on, you guys should have known this.
So, okay, so then what was your, so you do this research, you realize Million Dollar Boy is more like a dollar boy,
yep.
quite frankly. I mean, he should be betting onesie twosies.
Absolutely.
Not millionies.
Right.
So what do you do?
You what have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Well, that's the thing. You're not required to do anything.
Well, but
it's all a gray area. Well, this is a private business. Uncle Sam can't tell you what to do. He can just tell you what you should have done.
Well, what should you have done? And what did you do?
What you're supposed to do. Well, I should say, this is where it gets into, it's a private business.
Yeah.
Just like you. You know, you're running a business. You're a businessman.
But if you're,
and what's your number one goal in business?
Make money.
Exactly. Right. What do you think a casino's number one goal is?
Probably make money.
Exactly. It ain't to, you know, give the old something to do by having a bingo tournament.
That's right.
So what you do and what most casinos are doing now these days is the next time the guy comes in, they have somebody in management in the casino approach him and say, we're discontinuing this business relationship.
Boom.
Done.
So is that what you guys do?
They get essentially 86th.
86th. So he comes in, you guys say, you know, we're not interested in your business anymore. We're mm-hmm. taking away your player's card or whatever it is. And then he doesn't come back in, but do you also look into where that money came from? I mean, where does he get the money? How do you find that out?
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Another example is there were two guests that were $2 million slot players a year. So their loss in the slots was $2 million a year.
Unbelievable.
This was after you net jackpots, after you net any winnings, $2 million a year in loss.
Wow.
And when you do when you start collecting the dots on those and putting them together,
right.
you find out that twice they have been fined by the Federal Trade Commission for running elderly lottery scams.
Oh, no way.
Yep. So they'll get a list of elderly folks and they'll send them a letter that says, congratulations, you just won a $10,000 prize. All you need to do is fill out this paperwork, send us your $49.95 claim fee, and we will send that check right out.
No way. So when you discovered that, so you did the research and you found out, you know, this is a bad guy or bad guys and they're doing this. So you found the scam yourself.
Yep.
Or you or your team found the scam.
Right.
Okay. So you find the scam, you're like, oh, this guy's a bad guy. Clearly. Yep. So then do you reach out to the government or do you do both?
First, you reach out to your company. You get legal counsel involved because, I mean, this could get dicey.
This is a big deal.
Absolutely. We're talking, if people have $2 million to spend in the slots, they've got a couple $1,000 sitting around to sue you or at least make a stink about things if they want to.
Yeah.
So you get your legal, you get your lawyers involved. Then you got to make a business decision. You know what? Is this a risk we're okay with? Or, is this something where it's going to bite us? Company makes that decision, and either way, well, even if you just keep taking it, you say, you know what, doesn't look like there's enough here, we're just going to keep letting them go, or you go up and you say that, we're discontinuing this business relationship.
Right.
At any rate, no matter what your decision is, it always ends up with a nice little report sent to Uncle Sam what you found and what you did.
So regardless, the first guy, the million-dollar sports guy, you do have to send something to the government saying, This is what we did.
And you're just doing it for brownie points. Because really what you're doing is you're narking out your guests.
It's a CYA thing too, obviously.
That's totally what it is.
Yeah.
Because you're just narking out your guests. You're turning away business.
Right. So, and now, have you done anything where you found a guy who, I mean, you did the research and you're like, this clearly is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a criminal.
Yep.
Have you discovered criminals?
Absolutely. Yep. You get... we've seen people with money laundering charges, passing bad checks. There was a guy, not the guy that we know and love, but a similar guy who tried to do some TV reality work here in Vegas and had conned some people. Not that guy, believe it or not. Yeah. There's more than one in this town.
Right.
And
there's more than one douchebag in Las Vegas?
There is. This guy, I would actually claim, might be a bigger douchebag because he was a magician.
Oh,
yeah. Man. So at
was,
least,
he, was he a famous new magician?
I'd never heard of him.
Okay. Tell me after the show. I'll look him up.
So he had done some pilots. They're on YouTube. He tried to shop it around. And
so he's like everybody else in Las Vegas.
Right. He had a previous conviction for wire fraud. Oh. So what he would do, he had somebody on the inside that would call the casino and say, hi, MGM Grand. This is Bank of America. And we want to let you know Mr. Scott Whitney has wired in $100,000 into his account. He'll be playing this weekend. In fact, he should be in any moment now. Our system's down currently. So the confirmation number is 1234567.
Right.
And again, that was for $100,000.
Wow.
And this person had legitimate credentials. They weren't a legitimate person, but they knew the right things to say.
Right.
And so this guy would walk in and say, yes, Mr. Scott Whitney, I'm here. I'd like $10,000 of my $100,000, please.
Oh, it's a shell game.
Yep. And so there were two casinos that fell for it in town.
Oh, man. No way.
Yep.
So what was the end result of that? I mean, does he go to jail? I mean, does anybody go to jail for this kind of thing?
They do, but I'll tell you what. This is literally, it's a renaissance of fraud. There has never been a bigger time that you could commit fraud and have less of a chance of getting caught as you can right now. Mm. Because people are still reeling from the mortgage crisis, yep. from the Wall Street fallouts. Right. The FBI primarily is still trying to chase terrorists
right.
and Boston Marathon bombers and deal with race relations now.
Right.
And literally in the state of Nevada, you have to have at least probably $1 million of confirmed proven fraud before you can even get a prosecutor
really?
To even think of taking the case.
Really? That doesn't surprise me given my small fraud deal that I dealt with that prick. Let's say that you send your letter to the government and the mm-hmm. government and you say, hey, you know, we've seen this guy and he's clearly his background is criminal. And so we've kicked him out and we wanted to make you aware. Has your property been asked to come in and then testify against him as a result of that information?
It's never gotten that far. Literally in all of Las Vegas, there are two federal agents that handle every report for every casino. Mm. And that's not just Las Vegas. That's Reno. Oh, that's Elko. That's Prim.
So all of Nevada.
All of Nevada is handled by two federal agents.
Wow.
So, you know, and think of how many casinos there are in this town, how many casinos there are in the state.
Right.
The numbers are public numbers. And everything I'm saying, by the way, is fairly public information. Obviously, names have not been given in right. certain cases.
Sure.
But this is not, I'm not WikiLeaking anything here. This is public information.
Right.
I want to say Nevada casinos filed something like... It's like 6,500 reports last year that are literally read by two people.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, so clearly you've got you know the bad guys doing bad things, right? But the tease was a big brother, so you don't have to be a bad guy to be paid attention to.
You don't
buy casinos anymore.
And this is where. Again, anything I say here would just be if I enter any opinion, I'll take another one though. Any opinion or anything that is not factual is purely my opinion and not the opinion of anybody else. The opinions expressed on Living in Las Vegas are strictly those of the participants and not of the station.
Awesome.
So what you have is you have frameworks set up. So it doesn't matter, Scott. You could be the most honest, upstanding guy there is. Every time, which of course you are, I would vouch for him. Every time money changes hands, large amounts of money change hands, the federal government wants to know about it.
Right. Makes sense.
And the federal government considers $10,000
right.
to be a large amount of money.
Right.
So if you win $10,000, if you lose $10,000, the federal government's getting a report. It's not a tax form. A lot of people think this is taxes. You go down, you hit megabucks, or you know, you get Royal Flush or something crazy, and you win over $1,200. That's called a W-2G. That's a tax form.
Right.
Everyone knows that. That's tax law. This has nothing to do with wins or losses. This is just you gave a casino $10,000 or a casino gave you $10,000.
Oh, so even if you just deposited... to play,
yep.
Because some guys do that, right? I mean, yep. I don't understand that. But some people would say, $10,000. How about $10?
right.
in pennies. But if somebody says, I'm going to deposit $10 in my account so that I'm not carrying around $10,000 to play mm-hmm. around, boom, you have to say,
boom, we got to tell Uncle Sam that you, your address, your social security number on this date at this casino.
So when I give you $10,000, you have to you ask me that information.
Casinos are required to get your ID and your social security number for any cash transactions over $10,000.
And if I say, hey, I just want to be a cash guy, I don't really want to do that, you say, or the casino says.
One of two things happen. We either convince you to give it to us right. by saying that we're not going to be able to complete that transaction for you.
So nice
we're discontinuing this business relationship. So
nice I wish I could help you.
Or whether you do or do not complete that, this is where it kind of, there's this large net. So you could be, maybe you're just a small player. Maybe you're just a $1,000 player.
Yeah.
And
small player. Somebody,
maybe somebody makes a mistake. They mistake you for Steve Wynn.
Yeah,
and think you know that you're over a certain amount.
Hey, what's happening?
Careful around the Monet, Steve. Right. Yeah, the Picasso. That's well. To be fair, he can replace it. So if you do anything in a casino that just seems weird, seems suspicious, no matter how small it is, casinos are required to report that as well. So let's say,
oh really, okay,
let's say that you bring your $10,000 because right. you don't want to walk around with it,
right?
They ask you for your ID and your social. You say, you know mm-hmm. what, I've had been a victim of identity theft, I really don't like to give my social out. On second thought, I'll just carry it with me. So you take your money and you leave.
Right.
No transaction happened, right?
Right.
We still tell the feds.
Really? Well, so that's super big brothery.
Yep.
But, okay, wait a minute. So I go in and say, I want to put $10,000 in an account. And you would normally at least ask my name. Well, you know what's interesting about that? Hold on. So most players, actually, I would like to know this. Do you know what percentage of players have a rewards card or whatever?
80%.
Okay. So 80% of your players, you already have some information.
Some.
Not their social security number.
Right.
But you have their name, probably their address,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But which all could be bullshit, by the way. But
absolutely.
But you have it. But so I walk in, I'm 10,000. I'm a tourist. I walk in, I don't normally hang out. I don't have a player's card. I'm like, I don't want to carry around 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Spooks me a little bit.
Yep.
Here's my 10 grand. You're going to say, okay, what's your name? Scott Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's your social security number? You're going to ask me that?
We're going to ask you that. We're going to ask you for photo ID.
Okay, so I give you my photo ID, so mm-hmm. now you have my address,
yep.
and probably my legitimate address.
Yep, and your birth date, and your driver's license number.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and with that, you can probably gain all else that you need.
We probably can, but we're still required to ask you for your social security number.
So let's say I gave you my driver's license. I'm like, yeah, I get that. You want to make sure I am who I am. That's groovy. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually take it and scan it?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so you take it, you scan it. I'm like, well, that's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, can we get your social security number too? And I'm like, nah, you know, I had, like you said, ID theft, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. I want to pass. Would you let me go? Would you tell me go away, or would you take my money because you have my ID?
No, we'd give you your money back and say we need this.
Even without this, even though you have my driver's license, yep. you'd be like, we can't do it. We have to have the social security number.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay,
yep.
okay.
And then if you take your money and leave, we tell the feds that you took your money and you refused to give us your social security okay. number.
So now if I gave you my driver's license, you have a lot of information you yep. can tell the feds.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just said I'm Watt Skitney
mm-hmm.
and I want to do 10 grand and you're like, yeah, you have to give me your driver's license. I'm like, nope, not going to do it. And your social security, nope, not going to do it. So I gave you a fake name. You're just going to report a fake name to the feds.
Yeah, there'll be some investigation done to see if at any point you gave us a real name. Did you go to the steakhouse when you were there? How'd you pay? Did you use a credit card?
But how would you know I went to the steakhouse if I didn't give you any information to begin with?
Eye in the sky is always watching, baby.
Okay, now.
Eye in the sky is always watching.
Okay.
We're going to call up Eye in the Sky, and we're going to say, yes, this it's at is 6, a
great big
6:30 p.m., window 6 in the cage. There's a gentleman. He's wearing a burgundy polo shirt. He's got spiky salt and pepper hair. Fantastic.
Salt and pepper? You suck.
Stunning blue eyes and very personal glasses.
Yeah.
Where did he go before and after he left the cage area?
Wow.
And they'll
That's
say,
"That's crazy."
They'll say, he drove in a sand-colored Buick SUV, license plate.
Podworks.
Podworks, Nevada license plate, PODWORX. He came in through the south doors at 4:59 p.m., stopped in the restroom, then approached the cage.
He sung like a horse.
So you might have given me a fake name, but guess what? I got your vehicle. I got your license plate number.
Wow. If he drove in there himself.
Yeah.
If he took a taxi, you don't have that.
But we don't.
But that's fascinating. So if they did anything with a credit card prior to showing up at the cage, mm-hmm. you'll be able to track that back because of the cameras.
That, or maybe you went to the marketing center and you said, you know what, let me get a player's card. I'm going to play some slots. And you stop there before you stop at the cage. Were you going to lie to the players club? I mean, it was just for a card.
Right.
There's no ulterior motives there. So we're going to, I mean, we're going to track your steps through the casino to the best that we can and determine how you got there, what you did before you got there, and what you did after you left.
Okay. Okay.
And so even if you do something, it's just as simple as, let's say you get curious and you and Melissa are at the SOS plotting out where you're going to park for Rock in Rio in 2017.
Right. We did a couple of things wrong there. Planning a Rock in Rio in 2017 is not going to happen. And we're at the SLS. So far, this story sucks.
So you're like, maybe, you know what? I wonder if, is Wayne just screwing with me? So you stop someone walking by, maybe a slot person, maybe you go up to the cage, you say, listen, is there an amount at which I have to give you my ID? You just ask an innocuous question.
Yeah.
First off, they won't tell you that answer. And then second off,
I kind of want to test it.
And second off, if they can determine who you are, or even if they can't determine who you are, they'll potentially report that as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Guy in maroon shirt.
It depends. I mean, if you're...
I'm going to wear a black thing across my logo from now on.
If you're a... Oh, yeah, we've done that. I actually... Oh, let me tell you a great story. I actually traced a guy that wouldn't give us his name. He kept making large bets in a sports book. He wouldn't give us his name, but every day... He came in at about 8:30 in the morning wearing a polo shirt with a car dealership logo on the shirt.
What an idiot.
A brand, not even the name of the dealership.
Oh.
Just the logo.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, let's see. There's only, it wasn't Fiat, but let's just say it was Fiat.
Right, right.
Well, there's only three Fiat dealerships in Las Vegas. Let's go to their page. So I'll go to Fiat of Las Vegas. Oh, let's click on the About Us page. Oh, look, they've got pictures of all their salespeople. There's my guy. Yeah. I traced a guy's name through the polo shirt he was wearing.
So, isn't that nuts? All right, so, bad guy, cops, robbers thing completely makes sense. Good guy. Want to spend 10 grand? We're tracking you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And it doesn't even have to be 10 grand.
Well,
let's say that you're just playing.
I'm never going to bet
right.
10 grand.
Let's say you walk in with $100 into a casino
yeah.
and you sit down at a slot machine.
Right.
You're playing the slot machine. All of a sudden it comes up Wheel of Fortune, Wheel of Fortune, Wheel of Fortune. And you're like, oh, wow, I just won $3,000
yep.
from your 100 bucks. It happens.
Yeah,
happens
yeah,
all the time.
Sure, yeah.
The slot person's going to come over because the machine locks up. They got to fill out the tax forms.
Right, right.
Excuse me. They're going to say, congratulations, sir. I just need, for the tax forms, I just need your driver's license and your social security number.
Right. Can you refuse that, by the way?
No. Well, you can.
But
then absolutely.
You don't get paid.
But then you don't get paid.
You know,
so how bad do you want your money?
Well, when you leave, you know, when you leave Las Vegas in the airport, there's like a thing for Canadian folks. Were
yes.
you overly taxed or something? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
What is that?
That has to do with tax laws and tax treaties. Canada taxes winnings at a higher rate.
Okay.
So you can win up to, I think it's $3,000 or $4,000 in Canada without paying taxes. So if you're not a U.S. citizen and you just won money here on vacation, you go back to Canada, you can file with the IRS and get all that back.
Okay.
Because if you're foreign, casinos are required to automatically withhold 33% for taxes.
All right. Okay. So anyway, so I win my $3,000.
You win your $3,000. SWAT person comes over. Hey, maybe you just win $1,200. That's a jackpot.
All right.
So they come over. Oh, Mr. Whitney,
is that the threshold?
On slot jackpots, it's $1,200.
Okay.
It's lower in some other areas. In bingo, I believe it's $600. So the person comes over. They say, for tax purposes, sir, I just need your ID and I just need your social security number.
Right.
You refuse to give it to them?
You get no money.
You get no money. And we tell Uncle Sam that you didn't play nice with us.
All right. And if I did give it, if I do all that stuff, even mm-hmm. if I do $1,200, do you report that to Uncle Sam?
It goes to the IRS.
Yeah.
So you better file your taxes correctly.
But so if you right, but if you so you're it's two different it's basically two different organizations. If I do the right thing, it goes to the IRS, and yeah, I'm going to have to say I won, and you're going to send me right. a 10 whatever statement. That is thing that's called. But if I don't, you're going to send it to a different branch of the government saying this guy, you know, acted a little shady.
Right.
He didn't take the money, which is insane. Mm. Or he didn't, you know, he showed up with 10 grand, didn't want to play. So all those things happen.
So you ready for the next step in the equation?
Am
so
I?
The next step is sure. your plan. You and Melissa had a great time at Rock in Rio. And
yes,
you,
we did.
You are,
Metallica.
Right? You had a bit too much to drink.
No, that's never happened.
You're a little drunk. Eh. You're going through the casino. You're like, Melissa, I got to play this machine.
Yeah.
Okay?
Who wouldn't?
Right. You play the machine.
Right.
You hit $1,200.
Awesome.
Person comes over. Congratulations, sir. I just need your ID, your social security number. You're like, absolutely. Here's my ID. And you tell him your social security number, and you're drunk, and you give it to him wrong. You give it to him out of order.
Yeah.
Maybe they hear you wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe you inverted the last two digits.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's a service. We look up your social security number. If it comes back that it doesn't match,
right.
we then send Uncle Sam a nice little letter that says he gave us the wrong social security number.
Really? So that tells me, don't drink and gamble.
Mm.
But if you are, tattoo your social security number on, I don't know, your palm or your hands. Yeah. Here it is. Okay. So basically...
It's almost like, you know, and again, I'm not trying crazy. To bring, I'm not trying to bridge this to WikiLeaks or Edward Snowden, but if you think of one of those big things was that the NSA, National Security Agency, is collecting all this cell phone metadata, right?
Right.
And they're trying to get terrorists, but people are just, you know, innocent people are just kind of getting snared in the web here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. When you have a large web, which they have, because remember, if the casino knows or should have known, with that large net, you get a lot of junk in there. You get a lot of minutiae.
Yep.
But unfortunately, you know, a casino is a $1 billion company in some cases.
Right.
And they're going to do whatever they can, to your point, do some CYA.
It's crazy, man. Crazy. I think that's fascinating. I would like to have heard the story where you said, yeah, we caught a bad guy and you tackled him.
It's very non-confrontational.
I hear you. But next time we do that story, I want you to say, yeah, no, I actually caught a bad guy, and he went to run out. I'm like, I'm not on my watch.
Well, that was my previous life. I did that previously.
What?
When I was in surveillance, when I met Hannah.
Oh, well, yeah.
It wasn't the casino industry.
No, it was the people were stealing
Yeah,
underwear.
Used to chase shoppers. Yeah. Mm? Yeah.
Did you tackle an underwear shopper?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you really allowed to tackle? So that's a whole new show.
Oh, yeah. No, I've never told you those stories.
You didn't tell me you tackled.
Oh,
no, the reason why you got I know why you got your name.
I dove headfirst into a car one time, NASCAR style, because these women were trying to run away. Yeah.
That seems dangerous.
It was.
Okay. So the takeaway is don't be a bad guy.
Right. The takeaway is, you know, casinos just want to do enough to get by. They don't want any grief. So if you don't give them grief, traditionally they won't give you grief. If a casino is asking you for information, unless you're at the marketing counter and trying to get your free slot play or your slot club card, if you're doing any type of transaction and a casino representative asks you for your information, I hate to be the guy that says you should just comply because they asked you.
Right.
But essentially,
big brother, comply. In the live chat, Danny wants to know, you know, without knowing the company you work for, what is, you know, what's your job? What's your title of your job, your occupation?
Everything is called one of two things, either AML for anti-money laundering or Title 31. I particularly am in the anti-money laundering investigative realm. I believe the Venetian calls it AML investigations. But it's usually you use the term investigations or AML is used a lot these days, okay. Anti-money laundering.
So you're basically trying to stop bad people from doing bad things.
At the end of the day, you are. At the end of the day, I'd like to think that we report more people that are fraudsters, scam artists, and just low-life scum
right.
than we are Ma and Pa from Poughkeepsie who just wanted to see the Excalibur or right. the Bellagio fountains.
right.
But, you know, sometimes Ma and Pa from Poughkeepsie get ensnared in the net. that.
They get some. Well, they have ideas. Hey, maybe I'll do that lottery thing with the old folks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. That was fascinating. I'm never walking into a casino again. That's fun, right? That's not true. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not betting $10,000 anymore. Oh, wait a minute. I don't do that either. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Hey, everybody. Clear. Scott Whitney for LASIK of Nevada. And I know what you're thinking. Scott, you're wearing glasses. What on earth can you tell me about LASIK? Well, let me tell you my story. So some time ago, I went and saw Dr. Rothman to see if I could get the LASIK procedure done. And I went through a bunch of tests and come to find out I wasn't a candidate. But instead of those $299 an eye guys who will pretty much work on anybody, Dr. Rothman said to me, it just wasn't an option at the time, which I really appreciated. Now, meantime, he's gone on and done 60,000 procedures. I've got friends in Reno. I've got friends here in Vegas who've all seen Dr. Rothman. As a matter of fact, he's the most experienced LASIK surgeon living in Nevada. So check out LASIKofNV.com. Again, LASIKofNV.com. And if you let them know that you heard about them from us, they'll give you 50% off of LASIK plus an extra $200 off. Again, that's LASIKofNV.com. And we're back.
There's no commercials, he says.
What? There is commercials in the middle. And we're using that commercial primarily because, well, I like LASIK in Nevada. But
Dr. Rothman, two thumbs up.
I know. I had to open up my door. We learned this. It's 145 degrees outside, and it does get warmer here. I have to turn off the air conditioner because it sounds like...
I feel like it got warmer once you opened the door.
I'm a little confused because it is slightly warmer out there, but it's breezier. Okay.
Yeah.
This could be the...
It's a dry breeze, though.
Dry breeze, exactly. Okay. It's time for our questions from the good folks over here at the live chat question. Before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about something that I got to do this last weekend that was pretty, let's use the word sexy. We mentioned this last week. I got a chance to check out Melody Sweet's Big Top and Circus Burlesque.
Ooh.
That's right. It happened midnight last... What am I doing here? Midnight last Friday. So she's a gal who, you know, she's the green fairy at Absinthe, and she's just a lovely gal. And she's done this a few times now, I think three or four times, where she's done her own show, you know, after the fact. And so we got a chance to go check this place out, and it was, let's just call it, fascinating and awesome. So that's Melody there. She's a, you know, a lovely gal, kind of fun, very smart. Melissa actually referred to her as probably the smartest person she knows in broadcasting. That's her pointing at the very beginning of the show. And by the way, there's your buddy. Right there.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
There you go. That's your pal. He's there for you, man. Basically, it's basically a big top circus thing with a little bit of naughty into it, which is kind of fun. So here's what we saw. First of all, scissors.
Okay.
High-flying scissors. And I'm like, well, this is going to be a pretty damn good show.
Oh, I know why Johnny was there.
That's right. And then, hey, wait a minute, elephants. Now, that's cute. Oh, they're sweet little elephants, and there's nothing that can be thought poorly about that. Wait a minute. What are those elephants doing? Are they taking off their... Oh, my God. They're naked elephants. And that's what happened when you have elephants. One of my favorite acts was this gal. She, look at her. She's doing point.
I would prefer not to.
Just look at her, because she was awesome. She started with balloons all around her, and she just embraced it. But look at her feet. She's on point. That's really hard to do. I've tried to do it. Man, it's hard to do. She was fun, and she kind of got it. Well, we're moving on. Okay, now these two here, a couple gals who do this swinging kind of thing. I don't know if they're actually swingers or not. But they're in Absinthe, and they're a very good show. This is the one act where the act in this show wasn't as good as their Absinthe act. Better in the Absinthe thing. But still, it's pretty cool stuff. And then we've got lions running around. It took them 3.5 hours to put that lion makeup on. There's Melody in the middle there. And by the way, full house, 400 and some odd people were in there. It was basically sold out. Wow. Midnight, sold out, Friday night. And by the way, also cool, all that money was donated to UNLV's, I think it was their arts department, or the acting department. Very, very cool. That's what happens when you ride on the back of lions, which is, kind of interesting. What are you going to do? Oh, by the way.
Are you sure these weren't the pictures from you at the Green Door?
So I know where the Green Door is.
And
that's all I can tell you.
Okay.
I've never been
in
the Green Door.
You can neither confirm nor deny. First rule of the Green Door is...
you don't know where the Green Door is.
Right.
But it's by off... It's Sahara, so I've been
told. It's in a lovely industrial park.
It's right. By the way, it's supposed to be one of the greatest Thai restaurants in the same general area, which I've never understood that story. Mm. That's Mr. Gorgeous right there. He was pretty funny. Here is the funniest act of them all. You know those two guys in Cirque du Soleil, it's also in Absence, where they do that thing where they lean back and they're, they're stretched out.
We saw them, didn't we? We saw them at Me and You at the Cosmo. With the thing they just closed.
Rose Rabbit Live didn't Nocturne. Have that.
Yeah.
Did they have? No, they didn't have that. They didn't have that.
I feel like we saw those.
But guys. I think Mystere has it. These guys have it. Absinthe has it as well. And you know what I'm talking about, this whole thing where they're doing it, right? So there's a guy on
there. We tried that once, remember?
We do? Melissa and I do this every summer. We always come up with a new pool-based, because, we're not crazy. We have to figure out how to do Whitney Villa, or now it's Arches at Whitney Villa.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all pool-based. And so, yeah, I get it. So this guy used a blow-up doll. It was the funniest thing. Bam. Awesome. Just awesome stuff. It was far and away the crowd pleaser. There's our friend Melody again. Oh, wait a minute. There she is again. Wait a minute. There she is again. Arguably the best show.
Parents, tuck your kids in now.
In Las Vegas. And then the final act. You ever heard of the Wallendas?
The Flying Wallendas,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Boom. There's a Wallenda there. That's the daughter or great-granddaughter of the guy who's the head Wallenda. And she came out in like a gorilla outfit, took off the gorilla outfit, got up there. She did splits on that pole up there. It was really cool. So I just got to say this. I think it's very cool that somebody who's got a nice steady gig on the Strip, Main Strip, probably one of my favorite shows, actually my favorite show on the Strip, she's out saying, I'm going to do more. I think that's pretty cool. So congratulations to Melody for putting on a great show. I think it's very cool that you're donating that money. And I look forward to the next one as well. Okay, let's look at... Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
You know what we never did? We never Several got things. The chance. I tried. You can't fault a guy for trying.
Help me know this one.
But we never got the chance. And this is long ago, so we'll have to... I'm not going to dredge up the past. But we never did get the chance to talk about... we went to go see Purple Rain for my birthday.
We didn't?
No.
We didn't.
Hmm.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
It was a really good show.
It was a good show.
I actually, it's right, because I stopped the show right after we did that. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yeah. Vivian was in reruns.
Yeah. So that was like, yeah.
It was December.
I'll just say this. Oh, yeah. We had already been, I've been mm-hmm. out for a while. I'll say this about Purple Rain. Great show.
Yeah. We had a good time.
Unbelievably good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came out of there. I actually came out going in there going, all right, Wayne, I'll go, because Wayne's a big Prince fan, and I'm like, and I like Prince too. I mean, Purple Rain's a great movie and great soundtrack. But I'm like, okay, how good can this guy be?
Good.
Jeez.
Right.
This guy is really, and he's been everywhere. He's been.
Oh,
I think at the Rio. He was at the D for a while. He's at Westgate or what? No.
Yeah, Westgate. Started at the Boardwalk, which isn't even standing anymore.
Yeah. He was all over. He's been all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
Yeah.
Very good. Oh, I do have something to say about that show. This is the show. Because Melissa and I came away saying the same thing. There's a dancer in that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to bring her name up.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I don't remember it. And she's got another show that she's doing.
Right, which she's the feature person. She has billboards in town now.
Yeah, I know.
Man. I saw one.
I know.
Yeah.
And she isn't right for the show.
Right.
She looks a little... Just a little.
Yeah. Trying too hard.
Yeah, or it just... She's too hard. Hard is... She's too... She's too hard. It should be a softer appearance.
Yeah.
I don't mean like she's too sexy. She's just too hard. And so I didn't... That actually was the most distracting part of the show.
Mm.
I got done with that. I'd be like...
But the band... band's fantastic.
That guy is a killer. The Morris Day guy?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I would go see that show again. But if I were the director of that show, I would remove her and find somebody a little softer and sexier as opposed to... She has kind of a hard porn vibe to her.
Yeah. So you wouldn't give her another show called Sexy?
Nope. Wouldn't do it. Not me.
Well, then you're not the Westgate.
Well, no, I'm not. But that's me. Okay. Oh, what? I'm sorry. Do we have a roving reporter who wants to report? I'm not sure I completely agree with what's about to happen here.
Hey there, it's Danny Ackerman, your roving Vegas Video Network reporter. Just got done eating at the Triple George Grill here in downtown Las Vegas. Gotta tell you, this one, yeah, I don't know if it was an off night or what, not so great. Yes, Steve had a burger. He wasn't so thrilled, you know? Said it really wasn't worth the money. I'm sorry. I mean, you know what? I kind of like the little booth thing that they have there.
And?
Hey, good wine, good bar. Maybe if you like oysters, it'd be a good place to go. But yeah, I can only give this one like 3 thumbs up this time. Sorry. Gotta do better. Signing out, Vegas Video Network reporter.
3 thumbs up?
Okay,
What's the scale here?
She's got a
weird... Was she playing hot or horrible?
She has a weird little thing where she's got actually 5 thumbs. Don't judge her.
Hot or horrible.
Right.
3 thumbs up.
Don't judge her. Okay. She's out there. She's trying to do the best she can. She's got 2 thumbs, but she's got a couple extra ones because she's God's gift. Okay, so here's a couple things.
How appropriate that Coldplay was playing in the background.
Was that Coldplay?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know because I don't know that crap. So here's the thing that's about... So here's what I'm going to say about Triple George.
Favorite music of white men everywhere.
No, except for the ones that actually have a clue. Mm. Triple George used to be my favorite spot to go to before we would go to the Smith Center. They're clams, steam clams with a white wine sauce and is pretty awesome. Bartender, the female bartender nearest the front door, she's pretty awesome. Haven't had the burger. I don't usually get a burger when I go to a place like that, so I don't know, but I will... Oh, so Danny's in the live chat. She says the baked potato was obviously nuked. Well, that's no good.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
Now, Tomahawk said no.
They're associated with Downtown Grand, right? They're in the same...
Yes.
Downtown Grand, I haven't heard good things. I've heard they're hurting.
I'm going to tell you the greatest tip ever. For going down there, I gave Danny this tip. I don't know if she did this or not, but here's the deal. So here's what you do for parking down there. So on Triple George and Hogs and Heifer, these are all on 3rd Street. You used to be able to valet park on 3rd Street. That's no longer there. So here's what you do. You valet park at Downtown Grand. They'll say it's $12. And you're like, that's fine. And you're going to take their little ticket, and you're going to go to Hogs and Heifer or Triple George, or Pizza Rock, or whatever, and they all validate. And if they validate, then you... And they also, there's a number on the card that you can text them and say, I'm coming to get my car. Your car will be waiting for you when you show up to the valet, and it doesn't cost anything. It's a huge tip.
Yeah.
I gave you a huge tip for Monday dinner. You go down to Capo's. Now, you valet park, I don't care what time it is, at Downtown Graham, and you go to Triple George, you get that bad boy validated, and guess what? You pay nothing, and you are like the greatest person who ever lived in Las Vegas. Okay, now let's look at a couple questions. We got a couple. Pop wants to know, what's the greatest pit barbecue place in Las Vegas? Wayne?
Oh, geez. This isn't a great answer. There isn't one. Mm. I have yet... I'll tell you what. If you had to put, if you put a gun to my head, or you stuck me in a room with lights and 115 degree temperature, I would say.
By the way, you have to be hard, tough,
right,
to be on this show.
I would say Rolling Smoke.
Where is that?
I don't know. They catered. We had them cater in one day.
Listen, you pompous ass. Yes, we had Rolling Smoke come by one time, and they were lovely.
No, they're actually, I think the guy told me they're by the green door. They're on Industrial something, or Valley View something.
The green door is over on East Sahara. How does he know that?
Yeah, it's somewhere over right by there. But that's probably the best barbecue I've had. But I'll tell you what, Vegas, distinct lack of barbecue.
Yeah,
distinct lack of good barbecue.
Actually, I heard there's a place.
I can't stand Famous Dave's. Well, I'm not a Famous Dave's guy.
I heard there's a place that was on. What's that guy with the blonde Fiera? What's that guy? The
guy, Chris Phillips.
No, Guy Fiera. What's
his guy name? Guy Fieri.
Yeah, he did. You know, he does that road show. And
yeah, bra.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did a barbecue place.
That's right, bro.
In the northwest area of Las Vegas. That's supposed to be pretty good. But I don't know. And so my answer to that is I go look up Guy's show because I don't really have the first clue what is a great barbecue place. Barbecue Dave, whatever that was.
Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave. Only place I've ever been to that I can really think of. Yeah. I bet you actually, I don't know if Brett's still on, but Brett probably knows. He has a few barbecue places that are on KSHP, so he may have some idea. If I see that pop up, I'll let you guys know as well. Papa also wants to know: are there any decent stores for musical equipment in Vegas?
God, don't say Guitar Center.
Well, I'm going to tell you the answer is Guitar Center, and here's why. So
there's
other
music stores. There's no Stairway to Heaven.
No. First of all, that doesn't happen anymore. It used to be that you walk in and you would hear. No, that's actually not the song. The song is Smoke in the Water.
Oh.
That's what everybody used to play.
Oh.
Now it's...
Yeah, I just know in Wayne's World it says No Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, now it's pretty much anything from Metallica. You hear a lot of Metallica stuff. But that's not the point. The point is you can get anything you want at Guitar Center. Actually,
did Lars Ulrich win or lose that battle with Napster?
Because he won.
Yeah.
He clearly won.
But now I can pay $9.95 on Beats Audio and listen to as much music as I want, the artist gets 2.5 cents.
Yeah, but what was his argument was it was giving it away for free. That was his argument.
What's the difference between free and 2.5 cents?
2.5 cents. But it's 2.5 cents times a million. How many people listen to Metallica?
It's not, though.
By the way, it depends. Yeah, well, so this is a whole new talk.
Yeah, okay. But, sorry, not to stray.
But I will say this. It depends on... the number of people. Guy. No, it's a. I mean, it's they're not getting paid a lot, but they get. Look, well, so here's the deal. So download.
Apple wasn't paying anybody anything.
Yeah, not for a little while, for about a day.
Right.
But here's the deal. So downloads have gone down. People aren't downloading as much. For instance, for Christmas or for my birthday, I got Spotify, the full blown Spot. It is literally like having every song in the world in your pocket.
Right.
I could be in my pool and go, what do you like? Beach Boys? Hold on. Let's Go Surfing Now. How cool am I? It's awesome. So they have to decide, okay, do I want to have no money or do I want whatever the deal is? And then it depends on how strong they are. So Taylor Swift, Metallica, arguably some of these big bands, they're going to get better deals than Scott's Jazzathon CD, which, by the way, is a very good CD.
Yeah, how much have you made on that from?
Nothing that I know of, but it's only been on for, a month or so. And no one's listened to it. I have no idea. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm not going to make any money on that. I did it because I thought it was funny. And it's kind of sexy to go, yeah, I'm on Spotify. But that's it.
I mean, when you've got signed Signature Series CDs, you don't need to.
Oh, man, that's going way back, brother. I shut down that business, by the way.
Really?
I did. Yeah. No. Nobody's buying CDs anymore.
That's true.
That was the whole Bank of America thing was for
Timber. You want to hear something? I'm going to buy a new car in December. It's a new 2016 Chevy car. They're going to stop putting CD players in cars.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I listen to my CD. I have, an MP3 or a CD full of MP3 files.
Mm-hmm.
That's my go-to if I can't find anything on XM radio or whatever it is. All right. So here's what's interesting. So go to Sam Ash first. There's a Sam Ash on, I think it's Eastern, east side of the 15. It's Eastern and just south of Sahara. Somewhere around there.
Is it by the green door? Because that's where everything is in Las Vegas this week.
Here's why I say that. So Sam Ash actually has kind of a secret corporate edict. And that is, we're going to beat anything that Guitar Center does.
Oh, turf war.
So you go to Guitar Center first and go, how much is the whatever? And you never should pay retail for anything at Guitar Center. If you do, you're simply not paying attention. They negotiate on everything. Everything is negotiable. I bought a bunch of stuff, ended up from Guitar Center. I promise you, I didn't pay retail on any of it. So don't pay retail. But you go to Guitar Center and go, hey, what's it going to cost me?
Just standard disclaimer, I don't shop for guitars at Guitar Center. I watch QVC.
As you should, because you want to get the Estevan guitar. Like, Jesus Christ, you're killing me, small.
4th of July, he's doing a show in Sedona. You want to be my date?
Who wouldn't, actually? But so you go to Sam Ash and go, hey, I've got this deal. You know, what can you do? And they will beat it. Now, the question is it like to like? And that was the problem I had with Sam Ash. They didn't have the exact same products. But more times than not, they actually do. They're not getting anything special. They're not like Costco. You go to Costco and you get an HP laptop. You go, let me look this up. You can't find it anywhere else.
Right.
Because that is just for Costco. That's not how it works for Sam Ash and so for Guitar Center. But the truth is, there's a big guitar place off of the 15 that's got some pretty sexy guitars. But if you're into sexy guitars, that's the place you go. But if you just want a regular guitar, if you're just a guy hanging out and playing a little bit of rock and roll on the weekend, you go to Guitar Center, which there are two. Go to the one on the Strip. That's the bigger one. There's also one in Summerlin, smaller, a bit more intimate, but don't have the same kind of selection. All right. So that's how you guys buy equipment. And by the way, if you guys want to jam, let me know. Because I've got a pretty good little jam thing.
I'm still watching my instructional DVDs.
From who, me? All right, let's. I'm thirsty. Have a drink on me, baby. Have a drink on me. Come on. All right, this is Have a Drink on Me. This is the part where I tell you the kind of bars that I've been hanging out with. That's probably not the way I wanted to start that. I show you a picture of a bar that I've been to, and you try to guess it. And if you do guess it, you get to win stuff. Okay, now this is the part where I'm going to show stuff, and you're going to do the voiceover for what they can possibly win. Are you ready?
All right.
Here's what you might win.
Well, Scott, there are all sorts of fabulous prizes. First off, from the Vegas Video Network Casual Collection, the Cutter and Buck Vegas Video Network Visor. This stylish visor will have you styling and profiling whether you're on the golf course, in the airport, or just sitting in a 115-degree studio.
You big baby.
Next up, from this collector series of Podworks, or...
Oh my God, it's Spinario Records.
Spinario Records presents the Scott Whitney Collection. You'll be driving, tuning down the street in your car to such hits as Gajazzathon, Crisp Acoustic, and Crisp Acoustic 2. Brought to you by Podworks. Back to you, Scott.
No, one more.
Or finally, if you really don't have any other friends to hang out with and you feel like 115-degree studio is the place for you, Scott will take you out for a drink of your choice. Just remember, keep it on the well, kids. No top shelf booze here.
Very good. Okay,
prizes can be yours if...
The guess is right.
The guess is right.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Wayne. You did a nice job there. All right, to recap on what we had last week, this was a good one. We had several people guess, three. That's not true. That's a lie. We actually had 22 entries, which is a good number. But here's the fascinating thing. 21 were correct. But before I even tell you anything, here's my favorite thing about this thing. So I got one of our winners a couple weeks ago was a guy named Chris Scott, which is ironic because sometimes people call me Chris.
Really?
Happens all the time.
Wow.
Go, hey, Chris. I'm like, well, I'm Scott. But I get Chris all the time. And his name was literally Chris Scott.
You look like a Scott. You don't look like
I feel
Chris.
Like I do look like Scott, but I get Chris all the time. I'm like, I guess I look like a Chris. Anyway, so I emailed Chris. Chris is from England. And I'm like, hey, you won. And here, Chris had a great email return. And Chris says this. Hey, well, to start, I was chuffed to get the answer right, even though everyone who entered got it right. Chuffed. I don't even know what chuffed means. But this is why I love British people. Because they say words that I bet you is pretty cool, but I don't know what it means.
Tally-ho.
Now, I did notice my name did not go in the hat. And what happened was I skipped him. The actual week he put stuff in. So I put him in the next week and he won. And I guess he didn't win. Which is magical if you think about it. With your tech playing up, you clearly had other things to do. TriCaster thing. You can't trust those people. As mentioned, me and my lovely wife are in Vegas for only the second time, August, for 2 weeks and two, whatever. If you are around and he gives me a date, we would love to be able to meet up with you. I really should be buying you a drink as I really enjoy the show.
You should. Not only that, but it seems like you're having problems paying the air conditioning bill around here, too.
All
so.
Right, all right. If I play the air conditioning, it's like we're sitting on a freaking runway at McCarran. If this does not fit well with your schedule, right, shipping, not too expensive, I will plumb for the visor. I will plumb for the visor.
Mm.
Plump, which I guess means I would like to have the visor.
Mm-hmm. Right? Here's the problem, though. What's the name on that one?
Chris Scott.
Chris Scott. You're going to have to pay duty on that. And
yeah.
I mean, wow. Let me tell you, I've got, not only is this limited edition.
It's a very limited edition.
I mean.
You have one.
I have one. I wear it all the time.
I know you do.
I take my, this is, you're going to have to declare a value on this, Chris Scott.
I'm going 120.
Yeah, this is. This
all right,
is
fair enough, 250.
Okay.
So he ends up saying.
I'll sell you mine. You are getting.
Used. If this doesn't fit your schedule and shipping's not too expensive, wait a minute. Let's not ship to the UK. I did ship once to the UK, but he had a PO box in New York. God bless his little heart. Either way, let me know. And then he sends me an email right after that and goes, wow, I just told the missus that, you know, if you're not available, maybe I should book another trip. And she said, yeah, go ahead. That's the greatest wife in the whole world. All right. Let's do it. So
now, I'm supposed to remind you, I've specifically been asked to remind you, are there double entries for people in the
yes,
chat right now?
Yes, of course. Always is. That's great. And you have to manage that. That's what that pad of paper and that pen is. So here's how we do it. You manage the hat.
Okay.
You hold the hat. I drop things in there. And while I'm dropping things in there, I'll tell you, if this person's in the hat, then you're going to put their name in again, put it in there, fold it one time in this method so we can't tell which one it is. And then we go. You follow me on this?
There's a lot of directions.
We'll walk. We'll walk through you. Okay. Here are the first.
A lot of directions for the fill-in guy.
Put the. Well, you know, you're not here because you're a big baby. Yeah. All right, Eric Hansen. Eric, are you in? Eric might be in. I'm not sure if Eric is in. Or
I think
not.
I'm here because Gary Sharon looked at the weather this weekend and saw it was going to be 115. So he's like, oh,
okay.
This guy don't run the air conditioning. I think I'm taking a week off.
Is Eric Hansen in there? I don't know if Eric's in there. God, I forgot his freaking name. Okay. Okay, so Eric Hansen.
Is he like Umbop Hansen?
Umbop. Rob Cole. I'm not sure if Rob is in there. Probably not.
No, I see an Eric. Yeah, Eric.
Oh, Eric. Eric's in there. So you're right, Eric Hansen.
Okay.
Hey.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Eric's like, he's like, hey, wait a minute, I'm in here. All right, he just doubled his pleasure. All right, here we go. Hold that back. Oh, actually, I'll do this because you're about ready to do another one.
Okay.
Standby. Like that.
Right. These results are certified by PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Jackie Davidson. We know Jackie's in the live chat. Boom. Double for Jackie. Atta girl. Jackie doesn't know it. Actually, she does know it because I told her this weekend. She already has a Vegas Video Network visor coming her way. She'll be hanging out this weekend at the Arches at Whitney Villa, and she'll be getting her visor then, regardless of what happens or not. Mike Q is in the live chat last time I checked. Let me see. Wait a minute.
There he is.
Mike's in there.
For the record, I didn't play this week. If I do, and I played other weeks.
You've only played once.
I have. If I do happen to win, I'm holding out for Who's Your Bossa Nova.
Such a great idea for an album. It was such a good idea. That album would have been boss.
Would have been bossa nova.
Would have been boss. All right. Danny Ackerman, she's in the live chat. Danny, of course, is the host of Niche to Profit here on the Vegas Video Network, Thursdays at 3 p.m. By the way, most fascinating show out there. Better than mine, arguably. So guess what she does? She tells people how to make six figures. This is no bullshit, by the way.
Is tip number one turn off the air conditioning?
She did a show. All right, you big fucking baby. Here's what happens.
Somebody told me to remind you how
she
hot
told
it is
a show.
Time.
Did a show probably Brett. She did a show last week where she's like, "Yeah, I bought this thing for $1. I'm selling it for $70." How does that even happen? She's like, "Oh yeah, it happens all the time. It's pretty cool." All right, Ken Anderson. Ken's normally in the live chat, but he's not in today. He's out taking friends to see Jubilee, so he doesn't get a chance to win. Chantella Hodges, is Shan still in there? Chan still in there? Chan. She is! Chan is still in there. YOLO! Boom, she's in there. Atta girl.
So I got to write Chan, right?
Chan, C-H-A-N. She is Pimpin' Wayne. Chan's in there. All right. I don't know why she's yelling Pimpin' Wayne, but all right. Melvina, which is Chan's mom. She does not get a double because Chan's mom is not in there. Monica Fagan. Monica has been playing for a year, and we've only been doing this for 3 months. But God bless her little heart. Duncan,
that's determination.
Duncan Phoenix, spelled P-H-E-N-I-X. Fascinating spelling. He's not in the live chat. Steve I, the wise guy. I think Steve's still in the live chat. Let's double check. There he is. Steve I gets a double. Attaboy, Stevie. Steve's a long-time viewer, long-time listener. And Brian, you get Stevie in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oops. All right, and Stevie goes in there. Steve is a double of one. All right, so a couple of ones. Marie Rogers, not in there, but Marie says she gets a kick out of our Haddam Have a Drink on Me because her fiancé lives in Haddam, Connecticut. Pronounced the same way. How about that? Who knew? Aaron Perry, who, you know, she's smart. She basically says, Alan tells me, Alan's her husband, that you know they've walked by this place many, many times. Oh, I should probably put the place up. Let's do that. Why not?
By the way, I should do a couple things. You're going to do last week's answer.
That's what I'm doing right now.
No, someone said...
That's what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
By the way, you can look like this. There's our newest hat. Oh, that's Christina and Baby Awesome. And we've got an email from... And there's Brett's dad, and there's Don. Look at that.
Wow. That is one sexy bitch right there.
There he is. And then we got lots of people who are looking good.
Wow.
In the very cool Vegas video thing. All right, there we go. By the way, okay, so put that line there.
I actually thought it was more rare than that.
Charlie Lipset likes the vibe of the place. Here's what it is, by the way. Here's that place again. Boink. He said, you know, this is the kind of place that Dan Tana... and Jim Rockford would be enjoying a cocktail. Yeah.
I feel like we're there right now because there's a raging fire.
That's right. Okay, you're never coming back. All right, and Scott, I think...
Kid, it's been a year and a half anyways.
Kid Dakota, I think Kid's still in there. Let's check out. Kid, are you still in there? He's in there! Kid Dakota, Scott Van Vliet. Scott says, thanks in advance. Now, what Scott's doing is pretty clever. He's doing what's called an assumptive close. Scott says, thanks in advance. I'll be having my drink on Thursday, October 15th.
Wow. Calling the shot.
He's basically, right, he's Babe Ruth. October 15th is when we're going to have that, Scott. And then Lloyd Verdow,
Babe Ruth?
Yeah, Babe Ruth said, he pointed and said, I'm hitting that ball over the thing. He loves the podcast. Thanks to you both.
Okay. Are you watching that game live?
Fuck off. You cannot be trusted. All right. And then we've got a few. Which one is this? I already read that one. And then the people who've actually written in some pretty funny things. Let's see. We're going to start with Gene. I think Gene is in there. Pops, are you still in there, Gene, the dancing machine? You could just write Pops. There he is. Pops is in there. Boom. Pops says, hey, it took me 2 tries to send this email because he's illiterate. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But he does his homework again. Yelp posts a crap load of pictures. The correct answer is the Griffin. That's right. It is called the Griffin on East Fremont. I see this place a lot, but I had no idea it had an indoor fire pit. It's very cool. Doesn't look like it's got a bunch of annoying stuff. Scott, thanks for yet another nugget of wisdom from a true Vegas insider. Well, you can't argue with that.
It's not like the pepper mill that just didn't throw up the 80s.
There's not enough velvet. I'm going to win a visor someday. That's Pops. All right, brother. We're voting for you. All right, next one up is Don. Don had an interesting... Oops, did I put Don in there? I think I must have thrown Don in there. There it is. All right, Don said she has an epic idea for a contest. Co-host of the day. What do you think of that?
Well, apparently I'm not coming back, so it's going to be open.
She says, Mr. Drinky Pants can share if he's in town or just, you know, like QVC, kind of basically hang out in the live chat. So I don't know about that, Don, but I appreciate the thought. We'll think about that. If you want to be a co-host for the day, let me know. Next up is, let's do Christina, who's not in the live chat. This week's answer is the Griffin. I love the atmosphere of this place. I'm just about done creating Vegas's newest local. She's pregnant. In case you're wondering, there she is again, right there. That's one local, and she's got another local in the belly. Mm. Now she said something that's actually now she ever since visor 1.0, I'm super prego right now about the colored visor. Now this is an interesting debate we've been having for a while. I say black visor or no visor.
Mm.
That's the way it is because black goes with everything. She says, I get why the black visor is that, but have you thought about doing a pink one for the ladies? Just a thought. I love my black one. It goes with everything. But pink, you know what? I might consider a pink visor.
Yeah. Hopefully, unlike these guys, they don't make you order a case lot.
Okay, it's quiet. And finally, Alan Perry, who's a longtime contributor, he says that this is the Griffin. Clues are pretty obvious. He actually looked up Brett's high school because I asked Brett. He's like, oh, yeah, this is my high school. I'm like, well, what is it? He's like, I can't tell you. He looked it up. Because he's a bit of a stalker. And he says, sure enough, St. John Vianney High School, Griffin in St. Louis is where old Brett went to. Okay, so that's it. So several people got a chance to do double or nothing. That's very exciting. All right. I'm going to go ahead and do this with the deals. And Pimpin' Wayne's going to go ahead and pick the big winner.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
Stand by, stand by.
That is...
Especially with all the heat in here, you big pussy.
Whoa, I stopped talking about it.
Right. You didn't talk about it until about 3 minutes ago. Okay, here you go, big guy. Pick out the winner. Pick out the winner. Don't look. Don't cheat. Here it is.
Drum roll.
And the winner is...
The winner is...
Tell me about it.
Well, I got to tell you, the winner is a winner because they were in the live chat.
Oh, that's very exciting.
So... Those double points.
Double points. Now, is it my writing or
they
your
pay
writing?
Off. Oh, it's mine.
Oh.
That's how I...
This is awesome. That's why you want to be in the live chat.
Yep.
Because this happened because they were in the live chat. The winner is...
Danny Ackerman.
Danny Ackerman. Holy crap. It never ends for her. She's a big winner. You get to win either... Wait a minute. You have one of those. Stand by. I guess it's going to be a drink on me. Unless you have great musical taste and you want one of those. But anyways, congratulations,
Danny.
Oh,
I know what this music means.
Give me that. No, it's not over yet. Give me that back.
Oh.
Almost over. So let me have that. Danny, congratulations. By the way, it's proof that I didn't write that because that's written by somebody who looks like a doctor. All right. Back over there. Congratulations, Danny. And that's basically, actually, that music was appropriate. No, we have to do the next one. The live chat's going, hey, dumbass, how about doing the next one? Fair enough. Good call. All right. Here's the next Have a Drink on Me. Boink.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. Here are our three clues. Put your arms down for the love of God.
Oh.
You can't play because you have the notes in front of you, although obviously not.
I didn't even know it. I know this right. I didn't even look at the notes. I know this.
I know you.
Like that.
Okay, here's our three clues.
We've been there.
I have been there many times. Here's our first hint. It's located next to the original Vegas Video Network studios.
God. The more things change, the more they stay the same. You include Scott Whitney.
What?
Remember I used to always give you grief about your clues?
Yeah, these are great clues.
Yeah.
Located next to the original Vegas Video Network studios. So if you guys knew where I used to be, just center drive, then you might know where this is.
Clue number two.
It's clue number
two. It sounds like Humber.
Quiet. I'm trying to do this. Okay, number two. Clue number two. It's named after a famous old-time movie actor. It's named after a famous old-time movie actor.
Well, there's a new-time movie actor, too.
Yes. There is a great-granddaughter who is currently, well, not so much anymore. She's had a couple kids. Who was a relatively E.T.-like movie actress. That's a good clue. Clue number three. It's a great restaurant associated with the same name that has movie reels on the ceiling. Great restaurant with the same name that has movie reels pinned on the ceiling. And number four, it's located in a hotel that, by its name, might be of royalty origins. Okay. That's it. I don't know if I can give you any more than that. I mean, I've really given you pretty much everything I can give you. There's really not much more. Okay, if you want to send an email to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. I wish you well. I want you to win. So does Wayne, apparently. And we want to thank everybody for being in the big show today.
Oh, it's sad music time.
It's the end, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for playing. A big thanks to our good friend. What's his name? You love him. There he is. Guy.
Hold on. Which camera are we on?
It's Pimp and Wayne,
I'm going to need to give one of those big toothy grins for the overshot.
You know, this camera here. Yeah, do that because I'm going to take it. Well, that's good. What number was that? That was at 138.
Got to have something for the still. Mm-hmm. Oh, I still remember how the games played. 138. Noah's going to be back, everyone. I especially appreciate those of you that remembered me, those of you that brought up nostalgic memories in the chat. I'll see you in another year and a half.
Right. And thanks, by the way, for being in the chat when you're not on the actual show, Wayne. Which, of course, you're never in the chat because, what, you're too busy? No. Get in the chat!
Do you ever see Michael Jordan at a basketball game?
Yeah, I do. And he actually goes and challenges his players to do one-on-one, and he's going to beat his ass. So you should be there. Okay, hey, if you want to play along with us, and we would love you to play along. And by the way, if you have a question you want us to answer, send it to OnAirQ at LivingInLV. Again, OnAirQ at LivingInLV. We would love to answer your questions, even the ones that we can't answer. If we don't know, hell, we'll make them up. That's what we do. Leave a voicemail. If you'd like to do that, you can do that on our website. You can check all of our social media. If you're watching us on iTunes, and you should be, leave a 5-star review and tell people about it. If you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up and share it with folks. Or you can watch us on KSHP. Well, it depends. We've been doing a lot of cussing lately, and I'm just too tired to edit that crap.
What about Periscope? Can we get some hearts on there?
Yeah, we're Periscope. Good luck on that. Roku, we're up to 31,165 people have downloaded our channel. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple TV, Google TV, Fire TV, Vegas Video Network, Facebook, and Twitter as well. That's it again, everybody. Thanks very much for playing along. Thanks, Wayne, for hanging out and doing your stuff. You're awesome. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. You're a prince, and a prince should be king. Do you know where that came from? You're a good man, Charlie Brown. That's where it came from. All right. We'll see you guys later. Take care. Ticket.